Hello and welcome to The Scoop, a provincial newscast and podcast with stories from LJI journalists around British Columbia. Each week, reporters from Revelstoke, Cortez Island, Kootenay, Terrace, Prince George, and Smithers will share the news affecting their place in BC. I'm your host and producer, Pamela Hassan, from CSCK News in Smithers. The Scoop was made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Local Journalism Initiative Program, or LJI. Follow The Scoop on CICK, Smithers Community Radio, 93.9 FM, every Thursday and Saturday at noon, online at smithersradio.com, and of course, wherever you get your podcasts.
Today on The Scoop, Lonnie Taylor reports on the Honey Bunny House Party as an ode to artists from Cortez Island, coming up from CKTZ, and here in Smithers at CICK News, we check in with Mayor Gladys Attrill about the upcoming budget. You're listening to The Scoop.
This is a CKTZ news update. I'm Lonnie Taylor. There was a special event hosted at the famous Waverly Hotel that involved several former residents of Cortez, as well as the headliner being Aspen King, born and raised on Cortez Island. The Honey Bunny House Party was put together by Yaphrodite Productions and featured Miss Mar, Yaphrodite, and Aspen King DJing the evening, as well as Eva Jensen and Lorena Fairbairn, who are visual artists. Almost all of the featured artists have spent time in the past years living on Cortez Island. I caught up with the visual artist Eva Jensen to find out how the event went and how Cortez inspired artists to come together in Cumberland. So, Eva Jensen, you are a visual artist, and is that right?
That is correct.
And you were featured in the Honey Buddy House Party at the Waverly this past weekend. This was a unique event and has some significance to Cortez. Do you mind just telling me a little bit about what the event was, who was involved?
Three of my dear friends were DJing at the show at the Waverly: Marna, Yaffa, and Aspen King. And Aspen is a pretty well-known DJ at this point. She's been getting quite a bit more popular over the past couple of years. Marna is also gaining popularity, and they both play amazing music. And it was Yaffa's first time DJing ever. So I think he had been learning from Marna, and Yaffa was the one organizing the entire event. And I think there was a big focus on making it have really inviting, cozy kind of festival vibe. It really reminded me of the Carrington Festival that happens on Cortez. They had decorated it beautifully, and everyone was encouraged to dress up like bunnies, but everyone really took it to the next level. And then in the back of the show, me and two other artists were set up with selling our artwork. So I was selling t-shirts with my designs screen printed on them. Avalon was selling some pieces of clothing that she had made, including some festival hoods and like hoods with bunny ears on them to be aligned with the theme of the event. And then Sadie was also selling some of her paintings, and she had painted a skateboard and some prints. And then Lorena was set up by the dance floor, and she was doing some live painting and selling some small pieces of artwork as well. Really awesome event, like really unique compared to other shows that I've been to at the Waverly.
You brought up Carrington. A lot of the people, including, has Yaffa been involved in organizing Carrington or other events? Because I feel like Aspen King probably and Marna have been involved as DJs. Is that right?
Yeah, for sure. I know that Aspen and Marna have been involved as DJs. I don't know how much Yaffa's been involved with organizing Carrington, but she's definitely been part of helping to put it on, helping to decorate. And Yaffa is very well connected with these circles of people that put events on like this.
How did it feel to be involved in such an event?
It felt very inspiring and empowering, having these three badass women DJing and creating this whole event, it was like, it really filled up my heart and inspired me to want to be part of things like this and maybe help organize them in the future.
So I heard two additional artist names that I didn't know were also involved, visual artists, Avalon and Sadie.
Yeah, Sadie, I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name. I think it's Sadie Marfisi. She's like an illustrator and painter, and she was involved in Devil Cutter, the musical. Yeah, she's a Jill of all trades, let's say.
Sadie also has Cortez connections, isn't that right?
Yeah, she actually moved to Cortez recently.
What is it about Cortez that inspires and generates creative people and creativity?
That is a very good question. As like the Comox Valley, especially Cumberland and Cortez, are very connected, and there's very creative people that live in both places. And I know a lot of artists of all kinds that live on Cortez. And I think part of the appeal for artists and just creative folks to move to Cortez is that you get a lot of peace and quiet and feelings of being connected to nature. When you live on Cortez, it's like a refuge, and there's a lot of creative space that, I guess the winters on Cortez especially allow creative space to happen, because you're like in this cocoon. There's not really that much else to do in the winters on Cortez other than like dive into creative projects. But also, I think Cortez really draws people that are fiercely independent and like to do things for themselves. And there's a lot of people there who are creating their own little beds and like growing a lot of their own food, building their own houses. There's a lot of amazing cooks. I guess in order to keep yourself entertained on Cortez, you have to be creative as well. Like, it's not everything is just given to you like it is in the city. So I think a lot of people find it difficult to live there as well. Yeah. Did that answer your question?
Just to clarify for audiences, Yaffa also has spent time on Cortez. This was her debut as a DJ, but it sounds like she's had a lot of experience helping organize events. Is Yaffrodite Productions Yaffa's production company?
Yeah. Yeah, Yaffrodite is her DJ name now. And so I'm assuming that is her production company. I think it's a fairly new thing. But I do know that Yaffa has been helping Aspen with like merch and getting shows. And so she's, and also Yaffa's previous partner of 10 years was Dylan, who's another DJ in Cumberland. I think Dill Prickle is like stage name. So she's been involved in those circles a lot and has been behind the scenes with other stuff, I think. But yeah, it's really cool to see her getting out there and DJing. And yes, I was actually living with Yaffa for 6 months on Cortez. So yeah, there've been a few people who have been moving back and forth between Cortez and Cumberland.
Very interesting point that you've made about the Cortez winters specifically. And I'll just clarify, that time that you spent with Yaffa was a Cortez winter. Is that right?
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah, we were living in this beautiful home built by Noba Anderson, who is another really strong, badass woman that has had a lot of influence on Cortez. And the space really inspired us to get creative. And yeah, we made a lot of art together over that winter. It was a really beautiful time.
Do you anticipate, or have you heard anything about future Yaffrodite events or events that you might be involved with?
Yeah, so I'm not sure about specific events yet, but Marna actually messaged me today and she was asking if I wanted to sell my art at their next event, which she said was on May 4th at the Masonic Hall. The event was definitely very successful. A lot of people showed up. Everyone had a great time dancing. I think it was really inspiring for a lot of people. And so I think, yeah, like I could definitely see more of this happening, organized by these folks. And yeah, they're all like great friends of mine, hoping that we would all collaborate and make more events like this soon. Stay tuned.
Lonnie Taylor, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.
I am Gladys Attrell. I am the mayor of Smithers, and where I am, I'm sitting in my office.
Thanks, Gladys. Thanks so much for being with us on CICK News again. Of course, this time of year, as usual, there's always discussions about the upcoming budget and kind of looking down the road as well. There was an update to the five-year plan here in Smithers, and just wanted to touch base about a few of those things and the agenda of tonight's meeting. But I wanted to start first. The town received some grant funding to upgrade the waste sewage facility recently. Tell me a little bit about that money, those funds that the town has received, and you know, what is it going to go towards? I know this has been on the books for some time.
Yeah, well, it was. It sounds funny to say it's exciting to get grant funding for improvements to the wastewater system, but it was. We did receive notice that we would receive, it's an ISIP grant, and I'll have to get you the name. It's not coming to me right now, but it's a combined federal-provincial grant. And we received about $5.6 million of an almost $8 million project, which will enable us to make improvements to the wastewater treatment system, which will ensure that the effluent leaving our wastewater plant is as good as possible. And it will meet the objectives, the federal objectives for water into the bulk waste.
I know most of the communities in the north deal with some level of this and having to put, you know, their wastewater into the river or, you know, out into the ocean. You know, how important is this, knowing that, you know, this is not just for now, but this is for, you know, 20 years down the road, looking at the growth of the community?
Well, you know, if you're asking me how important is it, it's incredibly important. I mean, those who live here, you know, really wherever you live, we all know how important it is to ensure that our rivers are as clean as possible. People just want to know that. We all want to know that. We want to make sure we're doing the best job possible. And I do want to give credit to town staff who've been managing for years, ensuring that the effluent coming out of our wastewater treatment facility is as good as possible. With that, you know, Federal Fisheries does take a look at, and the Federal Ministry of Environment takes a look at the quality. And on occasion, we weren't able to meet the requirements. And so this will ensure that we can make up that difference and make improvements to ensure that we're just doing the very best we can for the receiving environment, which for us is the Bulkley River. And everybody cares about that.
Yeah, no doubt. Budget talks have been ongoing about where the town's funds are going to go towards. And I guess the caveat as well, lots of times the infrastructure, roads and maintenance and all this is kind of the big part of it all. There was that money that's coming from the Resource Benefit Alliance, and I also want to ask you about that a little bit later. But what are kind of the priorities right now for 2024 for the town of Smithers to deal with some of these upgrades and maintenance issues with our roads, with local infrastructure?
Well, there's a couple of things to that. So the budget just generally, you know, is divided into two broad categories. So the capital budget, that's sort of big infrastructure expenses, sometimes not necessarily that big, but on the infrastructure side. And then we have an operating budget, the things that we do all the time to keep all the services functioning. So I don't have all the capital projects in my mind right now, but you touched on some of them. So we'll be working on projects at the airport. We'll be working on, we always have a roads and sidewalks operation. So we have those capital projects. And then a lot of times what people focus on is actually the operations budget, since capital projects are often funded from reserves or from grants or a combination thereof. Not necessarily with a direct taxation. They could be, but often aren't. And then operations, though, increases to the operating budget, changes to the operating budget is what affects more directly property taxation. So those are kind of general categories. And what we're getting at tomorrow is really approving the financial plan and setting the taxation schedule. And the last step in that in our finance department is through it now, getting the revised tax roll. So, you know, people have received their tax assessment. They are their property valuation. Those that we're going to appeal have done that. The final decisions have been made. And so we receive, or the finance department receives, the final tax roll, and that's used for that final tax setting. And that's the stage that we're at now.
Now, it looks like, and just want to, you know, go through some of this. It looks like the discussion that was had was there's obviously always a need for increase in additional funding for the roads budget. It looks like there's going to be $125,000 per year into the roads budget, and looking at an 8% increase to taxes for policing and some of that roads budget. You know, again, what is this going to mean for residents of Smithers, knowing that, you know, we've already seen a tax increase this past year? Everyone is talking about the cost of living going up and this just obviously putting more strain. But, you know, why does this kind of increase need to happen?
Well, you know, you've talked about it almost with the cost of living. So organizations face that too. And we do have, you know, sort of gaps in financing. And the RCMP is one we talk about. We have talked about for a few years that we are trying to close the gap on what we generate in taxation and what our annual costs are. So that's a part of it. And then we also try to make sure that we're closing the gaps on reserves, our infrastructure gaps. And then last year as well, like everyone else, you know, we faced sort of a general increase in the cost of services, and we're looking forward to this year for what that, you know, the cost of living increases, as you will, and that's, you know, somewhere between 2-3% fairly conservatively. But where we're at, you know, at the last public meeting that we talked about finance and taxes, we had kind of settled into around 8%. And now with the revision in the tax roll, looking at all the details, on Tuesday night, we'll be looking at the latest recommendation, and it settles us in for this year at a 7.16 tax percent, 7.16, yeah. So it's still up. I think it's less than what I thought would be possible this year to make sure that we're dealing with that gap in the cost of our CMP and what we need to raise for the roads and sidewalks for infrastructure, and then just that general cost of living increase. So right now we're settled in at 7.16. That's what we'll be before council.
Just want to touch on a note there. You know, every year it looks like the costs for policing continue to go up. Is it, and I know a lot of people wonder about this, is it really warranted in this type of community? And how much more is, you know, this type of need for the community to cover laying on the shoulders of our community, of taxpayers, that need to cover these costs?
I think that's a really good question. You know, for the last couple, 3 years at least, this council has been talking to British Columbia about increasing their share of policing in the community. So the town of Smithers pays for 11 police officers. The other 6 to 7 are paid for by the province. I actually don't think that that's equitable. And we have asked at every opportunity that the province increase their force. So, you know, I guess there's two pieces to that. So we do hear at the municipality that there's a need for increased enforcement, increased police presence. I don't think we can afford to pay for any more police officers. It's a small community, 5,400 people. We are paying a lot for policing. And at the same time, we're hearing the need from residents, and have heard for the past several years, the need for security, the sense of security that's delivered by having an adequate police force. It is more than time that the province step up. We do need that additional support. We need people to feel safe, to know that they're safe and secure. And part of that ensures that we have an adequate police force. So the Smithers detachment, located within Smithers, also has a broad jurisdiction. It's not just for the municipality. So I think that that's a reasonable question for residents to ask. I don't think, you know, we could make a decision to cut the force. I don't think that that's a good decision. I'm not sure that we would consider that. But when you're looking at the cost, certainly it rolls through people's minds. Is this too much for a small community to bear? 5,000 is the cutoff. you know, so being over 5,000 and close to 5,000 for ratepayers is not a good place to be. But, you know, the question is really valid. It's one we put to the province every time we can. And it is time, I think, for the next increase in police officers to be funded by the province.
What is the current yearly cost for the town's share of those policing costs?
Oh, that's a detail, Dan. I think we're, I think on average, an RCMP officer, you know, and this isn't targeted to a specific officer in Smithers, but on balance, an RCMP officer costs us about $230,000. So you can just do it times 11. And I just don't want people to think that that's the actual cost for the officer. That's everything, including the officer. So all the things that the officer needs. So before people start targeting, you know, police, it's not about what they actually cost in their wages. It's what an officer costs.
Yeah, indeed, training and equipment and all these things.
Yeah. So that's our share. So it would be about 220, 230 yeah. times 11. Yeah.
That's a lot for a small community.
It is a lot. It's a lot.
And that's this week's episode of The Scoop, a podcast and broadcast featuring stories from remote BC by the journalists in the communities of Smithers, Cortez Island, Revelstoke, Kootenay, Prince George, and Terrace. This program was made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Local Journalism Initiative Program. Tune in next week for another episode and follow us online wherever you get your podcasts.